Hey, Weekly Pulse on all things green and gold. It is the postseason. It's Packers-Eagles Sunday at 3:30 in Philadelphia. Wild card round, not the super wild card weekend, which I've realized they dropped the super in that. The NFL did. That's the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. Maybe he's got some insight on why it's no longer called super wild card weekend. I'm Alex Stroff with you from downtown Milwaukee. Jason, just wild card weekend again. What's up with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that? Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a stupid name before.
I did too. But I kind of bought into it at the end, you know? It's just right when I started
getting used to it. Well, you're a super fan.
I'm a super fan. Exactly. This is obviously an interesting one. Same scenario as last year, right? You're the seventh seed in the NFC playoffs. You're going on the road to the winner of the NFC East. Granted, the Eagles probably a little bit better than Mike McCarthy's Cowboys were a year ago. But you're an underdog. Your team people are looking past. You're going on the road to face a pretty darn good team. It's an interesting scenario. We'll dive deeper into it, but it's funny how 2 years in a row, as you've said all year, right, they could have a better record, but it could be a similar scenario where they don't even get as far as a year ago. Seemingly seems like that could be the case as they head to Philadelphia Sunday.
It seemingly seems like that definitely could be the case on Sunday. And look, the challenge is, you know, look, let's be honest, let's not downgrade the Cowboys win either, right? Like, I mean, the Cowboys were undefeated at home last year until the Packers came to town. They had the league's highest scoring offense. Like, they were a really good football team. They had Dak Prescott healthy, which apparently the only time that Mike McCarthy's teams aren't very good is when Dak Prescott is hurt, right? So that was a hell of a win. I was just, it's funny, in my memories this morning, my game story from the win over the Bears in the regular season finale popped up, and like, it was interesting to go back and reread that because the energy is just so different. And that is where I would argue the biggest difference is, you know, I wrote about how Matt LaFleur sprinted onto the field while the clock was still running to go hug Jordan Love as the final seconds ticked away at Lambeau against the Bears. And that ain't the energy now. Jordan Love's elbow is sore. He's got feeling back in his hand, but they've lost two in a row. This is not the same vibe as they were rolling with going into last year's postseason.
Yeah, obviously this is a team that has lost two in a row now. That was not the case a year ago. That loss to the Bears was a wacky one. I mean, the game from first quarter through the final whistle was really weird, right? I mean, the punt return for a touchdown, there were snaps over heads of punters and quarterbacks. Obviously, you mentioned the Jordan Love injury to the elbow. Malik Willis busts up his hand on a helmet later in that game. Christian Watson obviously goes down with the ACL tear that ends his season and will likely affect the start of next season. Just a lot of weird happenings in that one, and ultimately it led to the Bears' first win since 2018 over Green Bay. But post-game is the thing I'm fascinated by, because it's been talked about all week. Rashawn Gary and Xavier McKinney kind of stepping up. Are they viewing that as like their wake-up call? Isn't it a little late for that as you get ready for a postseason run here?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, and maybe that's on us as reporters for making too big of a deal out of it. Like, you know, they stepped up and spoke to the team and said some powerful words, you know. But how else are guys going to describe it? Well, I mean, they said stuff, but I wasn't really listening. I was looking at my phone. But they've lost two in a row. They lost to the Bears, which you should never allow to have happen, right? The Bears are bad. The Bears are bad.
They sure are.
Now, that may not always be the case, but they lost 10 in a row. So if your team leaders aren't pissed and aren't speaking out, then I'd really be concerned. So I don't think that's that big of a deal. What I do think is a big deal is just how they're playing. You know, their offense and their passing game in particular, not very good against the Vikings, not very good against the Bears, even before Jordan Love suffered the injury. Jordan Love's accuracy, not very good against the Vikings, not very good against the Bears. And now he's got an elbow injury that is sore, and how is that going to impact his accuracy? So, again, no one is saying, and I'm not here to be Debbie Downer, no one's saying they can't win. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. But they don't go into this game with having given you a lot of confidence. And, you know, somebody asked Matt LaFleur, I don't know if it was Monday or yesterday, about do you believe in momentum? And he said, no. Okay, but I'm guessing you believed in momentum last year when you had some, right? So you have to say, no, you know, each game is it's a different game, yada, yada, yada. The fact of the matter is that they would love to be going into this game. You know, the Eagles have won 12 of their last 13. Like, they have momentum. Now, their quarterback will have not played a game in 21 days by Sunday. So that's not ideal, and I would assume there'll be some rust there along with the rest. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that the Packers do not go into the postseason rolling. And you can say, yeah, but last year they lost to Tommy DeVito, or last year Baker Mayfield came in and had a perfect passer rating. That's true, but they won in Carolina after they blew that big lead,
yep.
And then they won their last two games, so they did have a three-game winning streak. They'd won 6 of 8. It's just a different vibe than it was last year, and as you pointed out, seemingly they seem to be facing a much better team than they faced last year.
I totally agree. Now, before we get to the interaction that was had with Jordan Love yesterday in the locker room, I imagine you believe in momentum. Certainly sounds that way.
It
makes you feel a lot better about this team if they, you know, even if they just have a get right game against Chicago, right? Because Minnesota's a really good team, despite what we saw on Sunday night against Detroit. That's a good loss in terms of when your opponent. Chicago, not so much, right? That's a bad team. It's a second straight loss as you get ready to prepare to go on the road and face a really good Eagles team. So, yeah, my confidence has dwindled a little bit. Do I think they can win on Sunday? Yes, but they need to do a lot of things right. And from what we've seen from this team throughout this season, a complete 60 minutes has not been their forte. Fast starts have not been their forte. So if neither of those things happen, they're not going to win on Sunday. So we will see on that. Jordan Love's injury update was not much of an update, it seemed. A lot of one-word answers when he was asked about the elbow and whether or not he could throw. I imagine you were in that scrum. Give me your takeaways from QB1 on Wednesday.
Yeah, I believe eventually I actually said to him, as much as I know you'd love to continue to talk about your elbow, I'm curious about, and then I can't remember what question it was that I actually asked him. But, yeah, it was, he wasn't a jerk about it necessarily, but like it was clear he just didn't want to talk about it. But it's our job to keep asking the question. So sorry, Jordan, you know, I get it. I hope you get it from my perspective too, right? I mean, it was important to ask. When did you regain full feeling in your hand and didn't have any numbness? And he said it was the next morning. He said that he did still have soreness in his elbow. Like, look, the thing about this, and credit to Tom Silverstein for pointing it out, because I wasn't there. Obviously, I was finishing Wilde and Tausch. But normally on Wednesday, you watch stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go outside. The media goes outside and watches individual drills. And then they boot our asses out of there. Yesterday, stretch, and then the heave-ho. So the reporters did not get to go out and watch drills, during which Jordan Love throws the football. So is that subterfuge? Is it we don't want guys being able to report that he looks like he's struggling with his elbow? We don't want them counting how many throws he threw during the individual drill periods. Like, I don't know what that is, but, you know, I'll be interested to see. Again, access for today's practice is at, I think, 11:40. So I'll still be on the air with Tausch. I can't do the radio from in-season practices like I do during training camp. So we'll see what happens with that today. But there is – look – I don't think there's like catastrophic, oh my God, we're going to have to start Sean Clifford because Love's elbow is dinged up, and Malik Willis's right thumb is injured. But I think there is a, well, geez, this is great. Not only are we without Jair Alexander and without Christian Watson, but our quarterback's elbow isn't 100%. And oh, by the way, our backup quarterback has also got an injury. Like, that's got to be, at least in some way, even if it's in the recesses of Matt LaFleur's mind while he's focused on his game plan, that's got to be going through. He's got to be thinking that way. He just does. So, again, we'll see what Jordan Love looks like on Sunday, but this is less than optimal for him to be going to the game like this.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the Eagles certainly have quarterback concerns also, but I think theirs are much lesser than what the Packers are at this point, with some of the theories as to why you guys couldn't watch individual drills yesterday. And I think it's a fair theory from Spoon and yourself. So it's an interesting one. But I'll ask you this. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, is not officially cleared concussion protocol yet as of recording. He did participate in a padded practice Wednesday. Which team do you think has the bigger concern at quarterback as both of these guys working their way back from different levels of injuries?
So one of the nice things about being in the concussion protocol, if there is something nice about it, I was actually joking about this with Zane Anderson the other day because he's still technically in the concussion protocol, is that you can't talk to the media. And so Jalen Hurts.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say, but you were talking to Zane Anderson off the record then, I assume?
We were two people talking, not NFL safety being interviewed by beat writer. Yeah,
I gotcha.
And I was saying, hey, this is great. You don't have to, you don't even have to talk to me. Yeah, this is one of the highlights or something, something like that. It was great. My point is that by having Jalen Hurts still in the concussion protocol, he doesn't have to answer a bunch of the questions that Jordan Love had to answer about his elbow, right? Because he doesn't have to talk.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if that's why, but the concussion protocol is very cut and dried. You have to be able to practice and then not have any after effects, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I would be, as I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday, you know, I know you're dealing with your own quarterback situation. How are you approaching this with Jalen Hurts? And he said, look, we're expecting him to play.
Right.
And if he doesn't, we'll be ready to shift gears. But, you know, to me, the biggest question about him is not, will he play? It's what impact, if any, will the layoff have on him, one? And two, will he play any differently because he's coming off of concussion? Will they be less likely to do the brotherly shove? Is he less likely to run than he normally would be? Like, those are all the questions that I would have looking at kind of where he's at.
This year has been a nice improvement for the Packers' run defense. They rank 7th in the league in terms of yards allowed this season to opposing runners. Now, obviously, the Eagles pose an incredible threat with Hurts, who's had a really nice year on the ground, 150 carries on the year for him. And, oh, by the way, how about a 2,000-yard rusher in Saquon Barkley, who is one of the few running backs to go for over 100 yards against Green Bay this season? I know you're not a D coordinator, but I'm going to ask you it this way. How in the world do you contain Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts on the ground?
Yeah, I don't know.
Me neither.
And I don't know if Jeff Hafley does either, right? I mean, that's the challenge. And look, Saquon Barkley is fantastic. He has had a fabulous year. I would be curious if the Packers feel like, especially if they're not going to have T.J. Slayton, by the way, there is a question about his availability, how effectively they can slow him down. Because frankly, you know, Saquon Barkley had a good game in the opener, but his biggest play was actually a reception that he scored a touchdown on. And so, you know, that's a big challenge. And then if Hurts is playing the way he's capable of with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, I always say his
Goddard.
Name wrong.
Goddard.
Goddard. You know, that's a tough challenge in and of itself, right? And look, you can argue that the Packers with Tucker Kraft and their wide receivers and Josh Jacobs are similar, but you know they don't have an A.J. Brown, right? And the way their passing game has looked, who knows who the true number one might be in that group, and maybe they just don't flat out have one. So I'm eager to see what Jeff Hafley has to say this afternoon about his thought process. I'm also eager. Somebody's going to have to ask about the final play against the Bears.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you're moving forward and you got a playoff game, but can you help us understand what the hell you were doing with that call? Matt LaFleur said you can't be in that call in that situation. Why were you? And I'd be curious what he'll say.
Yeah, me too. I mean, even though we're on to Philadelphia, to quote the great Bill Belichick, that play, man, and the time management in that situation, it was all bad. So throw it all in the trash can and move on to the postseason, the way I view it. The Christian Watson news is a big one. He tears his ACL in the regular season finale, a non-contact injury. Classy move by Jalen Johnson. This is before he flipped off the crowd, to immediately get on a knee and wave out a trainer. So props to him at that point. But Watson tears his ACL. His season is over. Will likely affect next season, which is a contract year for Watson. We won't get into all those implications. But how does this affect the Packers' offense, and how do you replace a guy who is such a great vertical threat and stretches the field the way Watson does? I know Bo Melton's speedy, but I don't think he's Christian Watson. How do you view this? How do you replace a guy like Christian Watson in the postseason?
Yeah, you don't. I mean, he's a unicorn for them, right? I mean, they don't have, and Bo even said it yesterday. You know, I'm fast. That's him talking, not me, because I would never say I'm fast. But I'm not 6'4", and that's true. Neither one of us, Bo nor me. And so when I look at how do you replace him, yeah, well, we saw Bo Melton run a deep route against two defenders, and Jordan Love still throw it to him in Minnesota, and it was nowhere close, right? I mean, yeah, there's no replacing him. Now you can find other ways to be productive offensively. Obviously, I'm not saying, well, you might as well forfeit because you don't have Christian Watson for your deep threat. But, you know, the biggest thing about this, and I was going through the statistics, no team in the NFL allowed fewer pass plays of 20 yards or more than the Philadelphia Eagles. They allowed 35 all season. Christian Watson had 12 of those himself for the Packers, and he had five plays of 40 yards or more. Now, in fairness, he was tied for the lead on the team with the 40-yard passes with the five, and he was actually second to Jaden Reed for 20-yard passes. Jaden Reed had 17. But they were different, right? I mean, obviously, Jaden Reed had that effort, throw it down there, Reed's down there somewhere,
yeah, the Rams
against
game.
The Rams.
Yeah.
But more often than not, he is catching and going the distance. So it's just an element of their game plan that they won't have. And maybe, you know, maybe the way the Eagles defend it, even if you had Christian Watson, you weren't going to be able to do it anyway. So maybe it doesn't really matter. But man, oh man, when it's win or go home, you would sure like to have a guy like that available to you. And the whole way this played out about him wanting to play and saying, you know, if I practice on Friday, can I play? And then Romeo Doubs getting sick. I'm sorry, I do not believe he would have played if Romeo Doubs did not get sick. Matt LaFleur basically said that freed up a spot. Mm-hmm. And my point to Matt LaFleur, and I said it, you know, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know he's going to tear his ACL. But if there was a question on whether to play him or not, just play four wides and four tight ends and don't play him. And for that to have played out the way it did, that just, it's got to make him sick.
Yeah, it's catastrophic, man. I mean, it's as you mentioned, right? You don't have a crystal ball. You can't predict stuff like that. And it just sucks for Christian Watson for multiple reasons I mentioned earlier. Next year, a contract year for him, and he might miss the beginning of the season. So just really, really awful for him.
November. You know, if his timeline is like T.J. Hockenson, he won't play until November.
Wow. Oh, that just sucks for him, man. I mean, that you feel bad for him for multiple reasons, obviously, but being a contract year, it's just the cherry on top of a crap sandwich for him. Let's do this. What matchup are you looking at for Green Bay and Philadelphia and going, yeah, Green Bay could give, you know, really elevate their chances to win this game if they win this battle. Is there a certain battle that you're looking at and going, hey, if the Packers are on the right side of history here, that's really going to help their chances?
Well, one of them is how exactly are they going to defend Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we all heard it from Jeff Hafley, who, you know, we were all getting to know Jeff Hafley at that point. So I didn't know what exactly his mentality was going to be, but what was the explanation we got from him for why they didn't get any pressure early in the season? Well, they were rushing differently, right? Because they were facing Anthony Richardson and they were facing, you know, Jalen Hurts. Well, you look at the numbers and Jalen Hurts was sacked 38 times. So it's not like he can't be taken down behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a secret to doing that? I don't know, but you combine that mentality with their inability to rush quarterbacks, except in a handful of games where they got, you know, the plethora of sacks that they got. That to me is a big one, right? And then how do you do it in concert with the – look, if they can keep Saquon Barkley, you know, what's the old Sports Center line from Dan Patrick when you were like a child? You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Yes.
If they can contain him, they give themselves a chance. Now, the other part of this, and again, I don't know what Vic Fangio is thinking, but I'd be fascinated. Are they just going to say, look, we've seen your quarterback. He's good, no doubt about it, but he's been inaccurate. You're missing your big play threat. We're going to take away Josh Jacobs, and we're going to dare you to beat us throwing the football. And we've got the number one pass defense in the league, and we think we can shut that down too, but we are going to sell out to make sure that Josh Jacobs doesn't beat us. Matt LaFleur, I dare you to counter that. To me, that's one of the aspects of this game that I'm going to be fascinated to see how it plays out.
Is the Packers' biggest advantage the coaching staff? Because if you go position group by position group, it seems like Philly probably has the advantage, or it's a tie at most position groups, right? Quarterback, I'd probably call it a wash. Running back, Saquon. Receivers, tight ends, I'd go to Philly. Offensive line, Philly, et cetera, et cetera. Go through the defense, same thing. Is Matt LaFleur and company the Packers' biggest advantage Sunday?
Yeah, first of all, there's plenty of people that are frustrated with Matt LaFleur that can't believe you even asked that question.
Coming off a Sunday, I get it. Yeah.
Secondly, you know, Vic Fangio is a really good defensive coach. He's one of the best to ever do it, right? Nice. So I don't know about that. Now, granted, you know, Nick Sirianni, for a guy who coached a team to a Super Bowl, it's incredible how many people think he's an idiot, right?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously he, after that Super Bowl team, he lost both his offensive and defensive coordinators to head coaching jobs. And then last year they were mid, right? I know they started the season like 10-2, and then they lost what, 4 of their last 5 or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
You know, that's obviously problematic. And so, you know, I don't know if now, because they made changes. Kellen Moore is widely respected. He's getting head coaching interest, mm-hmm. right? So it does seem like after he was kind of a non-fit with Mike McCarthy in Dallas, that he's a good fit for their offensive coordinator. So no, I don't think we can say that they hold any meaningful advantage in that department either, frankly.
So where is the biggest advantage? Can you point one out?
No. Like, look, is it possible that, you know, they have an advantage that they have Xavier McKinney and the mm-hmm. Eagles don't? I don't know. The Eagles have a pretty good pass defense. I mean, they've got legit all pro level players at each level of their defense. So, you know, and again, it doesn't mean the games aren't played on paper.
Correct.
Right? They're played on artificial turf at Lincoln Financial Field this week. So just because on paper it doesn't look like they have any advantages, that doesn't mean they can't win. To me, the biggest advantage would be if they can turn them over. Like, that's when the Packers have been at their best, is when they've won the ball. And, you know, they've won some games where they didn't win the ball, which I don't think this will be one of them. I don't think you can lose the turnover battle and still win on the road in Philly.
I don't either. I'm with you on that. You know, as we've gone through a season, I'm curious. I've asked you this a few times this year, but what do you know about Jeff Hafley's defense? Because they've had really good moments, and turnovers have been good. I mentioned the drastic improvement in the run defense. They were 27th in the league last year in terms of rush yards allowed. They are seventh this year. That is a huge improvement, huge jump from a year ago. When you play Saquon Barkley, I don't know how much that stat matters, but I just want to give credit where credit's due. But what do you know about Jeff Hafley's defense as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend?
Yeah, I know that they finished, what, seventh in scoring defense and fifth in total defense. I mean, their run defense, they were seventh overall, but in yards allowed per play, they were third.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their defense is good, and Xavier McKinney is an elite player, and Edgerrin Cooper has taken their defense to another level, and I can't wait to see what he looks like in year two. And they've done all this with a pedestrian pass rush. So, you know, I'm eager to see what Goody does from a personnel perspective through the draft and or free agency to augment their, because look, Lucas Van Ness and Pro Bowl defensive end Rashawn Gary,
here we go,
as first round picks, not great. Eric Stokes, first round pick, not great. Jair Alexander, first round pick, not available for most of the year, right? I mean, Devontae Wyatt had some good moments. Kenny Clark, first round pick by Ted, not a great season for him. So you kind of run down the list. Quay Walker, first round pick, seemed like he was finally turning a corner, and then he hurts his ankle. What's he going to be like if he's back this week also? Like, that's another question. What's Evan Williams going to be like after a three-game layoff? I mean, these are all questions that make me wonder, other than the mentality of any given Sunday and knowing that we have seen this team play at a very high level intermittently throughout the season, you know, it's hard for me to see what, you know, what gives you confidence about this team. Like, if they had come in, let's say they beat the Vikings and beat the Bears,
yeah,
all those other issues that I just ran through are still there, but the vibe is different.
Definitely,
that's where I think momentum matters, because when we say momentum, what it really is confidence backed up by results, right? Like I always say, I was talking to Carrington Valentine yesterday, right? Carrington Valentine has no problem with his confidence, right? Now, we all have varying degrees of self-doubt or nervousness about different things. But one of the best things you can have as a player, as a whatever your job is you believe in yourself, but then you have success that supports that belief, that allows you to say, I believed in myself all along, but look, I did this, that, and the next thing as proof of my confidence in myself was well placed.
Mm-hmm.
And my point in talking with Carrington Valentine about that was, look, I know you've never lacked for confidence, but what does it mean to have played at the level you have now? Because he went through a lot this season, right? He had the injuries. He was sharing time with Eric Stokes, who is not as good as him, right? He's a higher draft pick, but he's not as good. And Carrington's like, yeah, you know, look, my confidence is never going to waver, but it's been good. I feel really good about how I'm playing. And, you know, to me, that would be one nice thing for the Packers to have in their pocket, is even with all these other concerns or matchup challenges, hey, we're playing really well and we're on a roll and we know that we can go in here and beat these guys because of how we played against the Vikings and we ran the Bears out of the gym. And instead, you know, we were in the trailer on Sunday and I can't remember if it was a YouTube comment or a tweet or what it was, or maybe, it was Ben who came up to me during the break and said, you know, is it possible they actually could lose these guys and what would it do to them? And we talked about it on Green Bay game day. Like, nobody was really talking about that possibility.
No.
And then lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that one was on me because I just felt like there was no shot again, right? I didn't feel like the Bears had much to play for. So I didn't view that one as a trap game. And that was probably the issue.
Well, all I can brag about is to say that unlike the Jacksonville game when I wanted to test the power of I don't see any way the Packers lose this game. Going back to Super Bowl 32, I did not use that line on the program on Sunday.
Yeah, good. Don't use it this weekend either, because your record when saying that is not.
Well, should I do the opposite? Would that help you?
No, because I
don't see any way the Packers win this game.
But I don't think you believe that, because I think you do see ways the Packers win this game. Despite, as you said, right, if this game was played on paper, the Eagles win. Right, there's no debating that for my corner. But the good news is games are not played on paper. Games are played. It's any given Sunday.
On
Madden, right? And
I wonder how many times they would win if you simmed this game.
Yeah, I wonder too. I mean, 4.5 is the line, which means the Packers are getting some respect, right? Is it 3 points or 2 points you get for being a home team?
Generally 3, but again, the betting realm has changed so much.
Sure.
And as I learned, you know, a lot of times the line moves. Again, this is not my area of expertise, but the line moves based on the money coming
it
in.
It does. That's correct.
So if there's a lot of people betting the Packers, you know, then they move the line to make it a little more interesting. So,
well, there's a lot of people betting the Eagles because it opened at 3.5, went up to 5.5. Now some more money coming in on the Packers. It's back down to 4.5. That, at least according to ESPN Bet. So, yeah, I mean, the Eagles are getting the respect. Let's end with this. Let's end with optimism. The Packers win Sunday if?
Well, they got to win the turnover battle, like we said earlier, right? Like, and look, that's an easy, Tausch would call that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, that's the ultimate equalizer, right? If you are playing a team that's better than you, you can win if you win the ball, as LaFleur likes to say. And frankly, you know, they got two critical turnovers, right, against the Bears. Like, the Bears were so bad, right? Like, let's not lose sight of the fact that the Bears had a 7-3 lead thanks to that punt return, and they had -4 yards at that point, right? So,
thanks for reminding us. Yes.
Two, Jordan Love has to play, maybe not exactly like he played in Dallas in that playoff game, but a lot more like he played in Dallas in the playoff game than he played in the last 2 weeks. He has got to be on point, and whether or not he will be, I don't know. Remember, and this is not neither here nor there. It does not impact, in my opinion, anything to expect from him. But the moment where we saw him and thought, okay, this guy's better than he used to be, was in Philly in 2022 when Rodgers went out with the rib injury.
Yes.
So, you know, if he plays like that instead for 10 snaps, instead for 60 snaps, then they got a shot. But, you know, Josh Jacobs has got to be productive. They can't get run out of the gym by Saquon Barkley. They have to figure out a way to put pressure on Jalen Hurts while not letting him run for Kaepernickian numbers. You know, there's a lot. Their to-do list is a really long to-do list if they're going to win.
You made that sound very historic. Kaepernickian numbers. I like that.
180 rushing yards. I was there at Candlestick, and I've never seen anything quite like that.
Yeah, one of the many San Francisco heartbreaks in the postseason. Don't remind me. LaFleur wins the coin toss on Sunday. He deferring, or is he going to receive like he has been all year?
I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, if he wins the coin toss and takes the ball, I just don't get it.
I don't either.
Like,
at this point, I don't.
Really, like, and I really didn't get it last week. Like, again, Bears -4 total yards in the first quarter and change. You know their offense is struggling. Don't be stubborn and take the ball. You know, go get them 3 and out and then go score, and it's different, right? And I don't understand it. I said this earlier in the week, like, Mike McCarthy would do that on rare occasions for a very specific reason. Matt LaFleur seems to have decided that this is what we do, and it has brought mixed results.
Yeah, it almost seems like he's saying, "Okay, stop us," and most teams go, "Okay, we will."
Yeah,
you know. Uh-huh. So, you know, I like him. I like him putting his cojones on the table, if you will, Dan Campbell style, and saying, "Hey, man, we're gonna take the ball and we're gonna score right away." And it just hasn't worked out that way. Maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe I'll take the ball on Sunday and go up 7-0 3 minutes into the wild card round. But
or maybe the Eagles win the toss and defer, and you get the ball that way, and you
sure.
do go and score.
Right.
You know, great, whatever. But I just don't. I don't think that that's a wise maneuver.
No, I don't either. All right, that'll do it for us this week. We're back with you next Thursday, regardless of result, to break down Packers-Eagles and to preview what's to come in the divisional round, whether or not the Packers are in it. We are also with you for Green Bay Game Day, which begins at noon Central on Sunday, ahead of Packers-Eagles on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ. The 1 o'clock Central hour will be the Jason Wilde hour, who will join myself, Gabe Neitzel, Super Bowl champion Brian Bulaga, and Wipeout legend John Anderson, beginning at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Jason on socials at Jason J. Wilde. Appreciate the time as always, brother. We'll talk to you Sunday.
Thank you for your service, Strofe.
A tip of the ESPN Beaver Dam cap. That will do it for us on Weekly Wilde. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.